Land the Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of December 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the bill authorizing FDA to take more control over the food supply is now mired in a constitutional battle. And a presidential panel on balancing the federal budget is calling for a cut in agricultural spending. Republicans in the House have decided to disband a panel to investigate global warming. We'll have all the details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear from our bi-weekly In My Backyard segment with Lisa Fraltz, and Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It is the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Rob O'Malley in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit were higher in the nearby December contract, up 9 at 7.06 and a half, July up 3/4 at 7.75, but the September down 4 cents at $7.89 and a half. December corn futures were 11 cents lower in Chicago at 5.40 and 3/4. The March at 5.55 and a half, down 10 and 3/4 in May. 563 and a half, 10 and 3/4 lower. July at 568 and a half, down 9 and 3/4. And next year's December at $5.23, down 5 and 3/4. January soybeans today, $12.79 and 3/4, 3 and a quarter lower. March at 1287 and 3/4, down 3 and 3/4. In the May at 1289 and a quarter, 3 and 3/4 lower. July soybeans, 1291 and a quarter, down 4 and 3/4. Next year's November beans at $11.97. Down 4 cents on the afternoon. December bean meal at $3.44.10, down $2.50. December oil at $52.47, up 22. CME livestock, live cattle, $103.07.5, down 50. The January feeders at $118.67.5, up 27.5. The March contract there at $119.42.5, up 22.5. And December lean hogs today, 40 cents higher, at $68.92. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby contract in the crude oil trading at $87.87, up $1.12. December ethanol at $2.07.5, down 4 and 9 tenths. The natural gas at $4.32 and 4 tenths, up 5.5 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel up 4 and 4 tenths of a cent at $2.44 and 9 tenths. And the gold futures on the afternoon at $1,388.50, up $1.20. The Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 105 points higher for the afternoon at 11,360, and the dollar at 80.27 is down 0.43 on the day. The CRB index at 312.10 is up 3.19 on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area is calling this afternoon for skies that are filled with clouds and a few flurries. They'll have winds out of the west at 7 miles an hour, just a high near 34 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 23, north-northwest winds between 3 and 6 miles an hour. And tomorrow should be mostly sunny, the high of 36, north winds at about 5 miles an hour. Friday night, a 50% chance of snow, cloudy, a low of 28, southeast winds between 6 and 9, and Saturday, a 50% chance of snow remains cloudy, a high near 34 degrees. North-northwest winds on Saturday between 7 and 9. They'll gust up to 15 miles an hour. Saturday night should be mostly clear, a low of 20. Sunday mostly sunny, a high near 28. Sunday night partly cloudy, a low of 13 degrees. And Monday here in Urbana-Champaign, mostly sunny, a high near 25 degrees. By the time we get to Monday night, partly cloudy, a low of 13 again. A high of 25 on Tuesday and sunny. Tuesday night, a low of 15 degrees and partly cloudy. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, joins us, not from his Decatur office today, but from the northern part of the great state of Illinois. I believe you're in Mendota. Thanks for taking the time to spend with us today, Dan.
Well, thank you, Todd. Yeah, I'm in Mendota. We kind of call this Little Decatur up here. This is a major regional office for us. This office buys in for the Clinton, Iowa ethanol plant. It buys in for the Peoria ethanol plant. It buys in for the shuttle loader up here in Mendota. And, of course, it buys in for the Illinois River export market. So this is quite a little active office up here with we can about direct grain about any place you want to direct it when you're up here in this northern third of Illinois.
Is that the one you can see from Interstate 39, the shuttle loader? Is that right or not?
Yes, yes. It's right there off of 39, the shuttle loader, right.
To the east. That's it has the loop, rail loop that goes around it. That's an interesting-looking facility. I like that place when I go
that by. That's a relatively new shuttle loader. Originally, it was a joint venture between ADM and Fasco. And here 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, shortly after I joined ADM, ADM went ahead and bought out the total Fasco operation. So this gives us a big blueprint up here. And, of course, we already had two export or river terminals in Ottawa and Morris. So that pretty well completed a nice buying blueprint up here for northern Illinois.
Yeah, ADM with a big footprint across that part of the world along Interstate 80 there. What are you doing in the area?
Doing some customer appreciation dinners. I had one last night up in Rockford, had over 220 farmers up there at the Clock Tower Inn, and going to do one here this evening down at Seneca's Oak Ridge Golf Course. And want to remind any ADM customers in our area, if they kind of forgot about tonight's meeting, to be sure to show up. If you haven't sent in your reservation, give us a call here in the Mendota office, and we'll make sure you got food to eat tonight.
All right. What time is that one kickoff?
We start off here about 4:30. I'm one of the speakers, and then we have the chief ethanol trader from Decatur. He manages the ethanol position for ADM in North America, and he's going to be talking about ethanol and what that all means to Illinois farmers.
Is he sitting next to you now?
No, he's actually
still
in Decatur. He'll be on his way shortly.
Oh, dang. All right. Well, I guess I have to talk to you in that case. Well, let's talk about the marketplace. I bet you have watched with interest in the last couple of weeks and trying to figure out where the charts are taking you. Is this an early winter lull in the marketplace? How do you view the current trade?
Well, being primarily a technician, more of that is my responsibility for ADM, is to watch the technical side of the market like a hawk, is that first thing you notice on the December corn chart is that you did close out the month of November with a monthly reversal to the downside after making new highs for the year in the early part of the month. And then, of course, we closed down toward our lows as we finished out the month of November. So technically, I think that is a big warning signal, big red bar up there on the charts that maybe the fundamental picture might not be quite as strong as you would be led to believe, at least looking at supply-demand balance sheets and whatnot. So I think it's a concern. I'm not too sure it's totally devastating, at least the way I'm understanding the fundamental side of the equation, but I think it is a warning sign that maybe we might have some turbulent waters ahead for a month or two, but I think as you go on into the spring, then it's probably a little different story. But that's the first thing I look at. The beans did not close out the month lower, but it was kind of a mid-range close on a monthly basis. And I'm kind of in the camp here that the month of December is going to be more of a sideways, choppy affair that could stay inside the ranges of the November high-low for both corn and soybeans. And then we go into January, and then we begin to get new government data with the January final. And then once the January final is out of the way, then the market then will focus on new crop prospects, acreage mixes, and weather issues all around the world. So I do think as we look for the next 3 months, it's going to be a real interesting situation, I think, as we turn the corner into the new year.
I suppose you've been listening to the ethanol trader for a couple of times. Has he talked very much about the expiration of the blender's tax credit and the export tariff?
Oh, yeah. That's got our attention, being one of the major ethanol producers in the United States, naturally. That is a concern, and we're going to see how that plays out. Basically, the political sources out of Washington kind of give it a 50-50 deal at this point, as both parties try to come to grips on what they want to do with not only the Bush tax rates, but all other tax policy issues that are going to expire here at the end of the month.
Yeah, here it is about 18 minutes after the hour of 2 o'clock Central Time on a Thursday afternoon. And you probably don't know this, but at this point they are just about, I think, to vote potentially on the extension of the Bush tax cuts. So we may know much sooner rather than later, but who knows what will happen in the intervening time.
Well, I think
time.
This is just the House vote.
That's correct.
I think that's just a maneuvering position from what I'm reading in between the lines. The main the policy is going to be determined with the Republican Senate and Obama. I think the House Democrats are in la-la land after their, as Obama said, shellacking. I think they're just playing politics here before they finish out their career.
If you're a producer, I'll give you another minute and a half here, but if you're a producer, what are you telling them? And I know you've got to be telling them something at these meetings. What do you tell them that they ought to be doing for sure?
Well, first thing, trend's still up, but I do think we have some warning signs. I'm kind of in the camp. You just kind of draw your trend lines, watch some long-term moving averages. The trend is your friend, but you need to be continuing to watch over your shoulder at all times. If you're most farmers, as a rule, are pretty well sold up here on this old crop inventory, so they're more interested on what to do about new crop at this point. But I think you got to stay patient at least and see how things play out during the month of January, and then we kind of go from there.
All right. Thank you so much.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Join us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. If you'd like to hear it again, you can always do that in its entirety on our website. The address is willag.org. Over on the right-hand side of the page there, you can sign up for our free weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe. If you don't like it, but I bet you do, but if you don't, just come back and hit unsubscribe. It's that easy. And speaking of that January report that Dan Zwicker mentioned, if you'd like to get the numbers that morning as a text, when you sign up, just give us your cell phone number. On those USDA report days, we'll send you a note.
In agricultural news, the bill to modernize food safety programs at the U.S. Food and Drug Administration that passed the Senate on Tuesday has become mired in a constitutional dispute over Senate provisions that would increase government revenue. As soon as House leaders examined the bill, leaders of both parties complained that provisions raising fees violate a constitutional requirement that all revenue-raising measures begin in the House of Representatives. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer told reporters yesterday that the House planned to pass the Senate bill with its own number and send it back to the Senate. But according to a December 1st report in the National Journal, Senator Tom Colburn, a Republican from Oklahoma, is threatening to mount another filibuster against it. A presidential panel on balancing the budget yesterday called for a net cut of $10 billion through 2020 in Agriculture Department spending, chiefly in crop subsidy and land stewardship programs. But the plan would not force idled cropland back into production. The average cut of $1.25 billion a year equals 10% of annual farm spending. The commission also suggested reductions in direct payments when prices exceed the cost of production or other reductions in subsidies, along with smaller funding for an export promotion program. Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives said yesterday that they are disbanding a special panel created to investigate global warming. The decision was driven by a desire to reduce government spending. The Global Warming Panel conducted its last hearing yesterday. News of the decision to shut down the committee coincides with the United Nations Climate Change Conference being held now in Mexico through December 10th. Wheat industry sources say today that adding protein requirements to hard red winter wheat futures contracts may fail to bring about convergence in cash and futures prices. Joe Neil Hampton, president of the Oklahoma Grain and Feed Association, says, quote, "In a year when there is a lot of low-protein wheat, I think it could work the opposite way." Members of the Kansas City Board of Trade voted Tuesday to increase storage rates, add minimum protein requirements, and lower vomitoxin tolerance levels for hard red winter wheat delivered against futures contracts beginning with the September 2011 contract. The proposal awaits approval by the Commodity Futures Trading Commission before going into effect. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week. Both programs you can hear on our website. The address is willag.org. Dave will be back in a moment with this week's In My Backyard.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Common Ground Food Co-op in Lincoln Square Mall. Community owned since 1974, Common Ground is a full-service grocer featuring locally grown and organic foods as well as homemade healthy deli meals. More information is available at 352-3347 or at the co-op.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Coming up next, almost everyone has family traditions for the holidays, time-honored ways to celebrate the season that often go back generations. But traditions also have beginnings, as Lisa Braltz reflects on in her latest edition of In My Backyard.
It seems like it was just Halloween, but the calendar says it's December, so everyone in the neighborhood's busy gussying things up for the winter holidays. One of my neighbors has had the garland and ribbons festooning his front porch for the last week. Lights and menorahs are up in the neighborhood, and I've even seen a few holiday trees in front windows, which got me thinking. For those who celebrate Christmas or Yule, what's the deal with your tree? Is it real or is it fake? Is it an evergreen or something else? Do you have a tree at all? I asked our friends and neighbors, Ed and Jana, what their decorating plans are for this holiday season.
Probably not have a Christmas tree this year. We have quite a few dogs, and it's not a very big house. And between dogs and the lack of space, it makes the Christmas tree more of an adventure than we want to have.
We have a very tall candelabra that we've put a wreath, a long wreath on, and we've decorated that.
And we hang ornaments all over the house.
Yeah.
Like on anything you can hang an ornament on, it gets hung on. So plants, if it's not moving, you know. So the dogs are off limits, but pretty much everything else is, you know, we'll hang ornaments on that. And we'll do that this year, too.
I grew up in a household where the tree we had over the holidays was whatever my parents felt they were able to deal with at the time. Sometimes it was real, sometimes it was artificial. My own family, though, seems to have a serious preference for real trees. There have been trees purchased on the winter solstice for $6 at the big box store, and there have been trees bought from the University of Illinois forestry students during their annual tree sale the first weekend in December near Race in Windsor in Urbana. There was also that one time that the tree we got came with its own mouse nest and inhabitants. We've never cut down our own tree. That's what my neighbor Sam plans on doing with his family this weekend. We've also never done the living tree thing, though I find the idea intriguing from a sustainability standpoint. You see, I'm the one in the family who usually is willing to buck existing tradition and do something different. It is hard sometimes to be that person, though, because most of the time, no one's too interested in deviating too much from the established holiday tradition. Except for this year. All three of us, as our son moved to Chicago last summer and will only be home for a couple of days, are actually considering not having a traditional tree. My husband, Jim, and our daughter, Lily, hold a lot of holiday traditions quite dear. But in 2010, they're both okay with not having a tree. I know why I'm okay with it. Our house is adorable, but tiny. We also have cats who cannot seem to control themselves around a holiday tree. They bat its ornaments, they drink its water, they climb its branches. But why is my family okay with it this year? I had to ask them.
I think it would be okay because I know that we would decorate in smaller places throughout the entire house rather than just having everything in one place right there. And also because we go to my grandparents and they always really get into the Christmas decorations. So, yeah.
My daughter, Lily, is a lot like her father. Instead of a tree, we might use other plants and food as decor. Not having a tree means cranberries and popcorn can be strung for use as garlands and bird food on outside greenery. Indoor decorating using popcorn seemed like a good idea until my friend Jill mentioned that in her childhood, her mom strung together packing peanuts instead of popcorn. Real popcorn on the tree might attract mice, said her mom. My friend Stephanie told me a pomegranate goes on the mantle at her house at holiday time and remains there for an entire year. It dries nicely and apparently doesn't attract rodents. Neither does the clove-stuffed orange my mom insisted I do for her several years running, or the applesauce cinnamon ornaments I used to make with my own kids years ago. Tradition, especially over the holidays, is important. But tradition is also something you can add as you go. There's no reason you can't do what you do already and put some applesauce cinnamon ornaments on that big jade plant, because that's what I'm going to do this year.
Lisa Brock's stories can also be heard on our website, WILLAG.org. Click on the In My Backyard link in the right navigation window. And you can also read her occasional blogs at majorprogression.wordpress.com.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. I'll return in just a couple minutes when we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Pete Levitt will be here.
National Fritters Day. Thousands of years ago, the Romans and Greeks made fritters, deep frying flour mixed with milk, eggs, spices, and honey. On this day in agricultural history in 1885, George Richard Monat was born. An American physician, he was one of the developers of a raw liver diet used to treat anemia. In 1970, the Environmental Protection Agency began operations. William Ruckelhaus was the first director. President Richard Nixon charged the then 38-year-old Ruckelshaus to treat air pollution, water pollution, and solid wastes as different forms of a single problem. Ruckelshaus exceeded expectations, earning the nickname among lawmakers as Mr. Clean. And in 1995, Maria Telkis died, a Hungarian-born American biophysicist and chemist. She was a pioneer in using solar energy in heating applications. Among other things, she developed a solar-heated seawater distillation system and a solar-powered stove. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason in studio here in Urbana-Champaign. On the phone line with us from Massachusetts is Pete Leavitt, agricultural meteorologist. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
It's cooled down, and it looks like it's going to get really cool for the evenings. I saw some teen temperatures for the overnights as we get into the weekend. Do you think those are right?
Yeah, that's probably pretty close. I think we're going to see the upper teens. System is coming at us from the west, but it's headed southeastward and it'll skirt across southern Illinois. And as a result, we may get a chance of getting some skies to partially clear as high pressure builds in behind it tonight and then tomorrow. So we'll get down in the teens and we'll get back up into the low 30s tomorrow. Then tomorrow night, cloudiness comes along again as a new system comes out of the Rockies, moves east-southeastward, and will pass through Iowa Friday night and Saturday, and then we'll move across Illinois on Saturday night. And that one will produce some snow in northern Illinois, some mixed precipitation in central Illinois. I think it'll be mostly mixed with snow, and then some rain way downstate toward the Boot Hill of Missouri. That system will probably produce about a half inch melted. That would be, if it were all snow, about 5 inches of snow. It's a pretty fair system. And then as that goes by, then the cold air comes in. Mm-hmm. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll see single numbers at night. Highs will only be in the teens on Monday and Tuesday. Recovering a little bit as we get to the end of the week, the highs getting up into the low 20s, and then maybe by next Thursday, they'll be up around freezing again. So a cold spell is on the way, and that's going to be the main weather feature for the week.
And then turn your attention to South America. Tell me about the crops there.
Well, they finally got some decent rain in Rio Grande do Sul in southern Brazil, which is going to boost the prospects for beans, which are planted down in there, and some corn crop. There'll be seasonal weather, the balance of Brazil, but they've had adequate moisture from earlier storms. The only problem area right now is in parts of the rich agricultural belts of northeastern Argentina, where it's been dry again, but fortunately the temperatures haven't been very hot. But we're probably going to see some warmer weather this coming week. They could use some rain down there. So all in all, probably I'd call it fair to good maybe right now for prospects down there.
And have you been keeping track of the wheat crop in Australia?
Yeah, there we've had, of course, you had a drought-reduced crop in Western Australia. That's not an unusual event there as a swing and a harvest. And it's been showery and wet in the southeast, and that's been a problem on slowing a harvest. That's where they've had good moisture much of the growing season, a major wheat area in southeastern Australia. Now the showers there probably slowing harvest activities a bit and maybe have some minor effects on quality. I'd say not a very good prospect in Western Australia. fair to good in eastern Australia.
Thanks much, Pete.
My pleasure.
That's the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.